the book of Job 38, 1 through 11. Then out of the storm, the Lord spoke to Job. Who are you to question my wisdom with your ignorant, empty words? Now stand up straight and answer the questions I ask you. Were you there when I made the world? If you know so much, tell me about it. Who decided how large it would be? Who stretched out the measuring line over it? Do you know all the answers? What holds up the pillars that support the earth? Who laid the cornerstone of the world? In the dawn of that day, the stars sang together, and the heavenly beings shouted for joy. Who closed the gates to hold back the sea when it burst from the womb of the earth? It was I who covered the sea with clouds and wrapped it in darkness. I marked a boundary for the sea and kept it behind bolted gates. I told it so far and no farther. Here, your powerful waves must stop.
And from Mark 4. On the evening of the same day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they left the crowd. The disciples got into the boat in which Jesus was already sitting, and they took him with them. Other boats were there too. Suddenly a strong wind blew up, and the waves began to spill over into the boat, so that it was filled with water. Jesus was in the back of the boat, sleeping with his head on a pillow. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to die?" Jesus stood up and commanded the wind, "Be quiet." And he said to the waves, "Be still." The wind died down, and there was a great calm. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you frightened? Do you still have no faith?" But they were terribly afraid and began to say to one another, "Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. It's a good thing I only have like a 45-minute sermon planned, right? So when I was a child and The Wizard of Oz came on TV one time a year on a Sunday night, and that one time a year I was glued to that TV, start to finish. I love The Wizard of Oz. I guess the story of bravery and courage of a young girl in bright red flashy shoes is something that just drew me in. But I have to admit that movie did scare me some. And not, my friends were afraid of the Wicked Witch and the Flying Monkeys and the Invisible Wizard. I was afraid of the tornado. What is going to happen here? Is the tornado going to come to my small hometown and turn my house upside down, and all that's going to show are my shoes? I was petrified of a tornado. I had nightmares of tornadoes, but I still had to watch that movie. Tornadoes still today scare me. They frighten me greatly. I would not live in Tornado Alley. I couldn't do it. I would never sleep, even less than I do now. So it's a little amazing that in 1996, I purposely watched this movie called Twister. I suppose I was a glutton for punishment. How many of you saw that movie? Yeah, good bit of you. I still think about those flying cows. If you haven't seen the movie, the main characters were scientists who chased storms and the weather patterns. They were paid to do this. They wanted to do this. They were purposefully looking for when they would happen. And their goal was not just to get near the storm. They wanted to be inside the tunnel. Ultimately, that was their goal, to be inside that tunnel. I was amazed by that, and yet petrified. Most people I know run from storms like that. When I was a child and a thunderstorm would come, my great-grandmother turned off all the lights. We would go lay on the bed and not touch the floor. That was the rule till everything stopped. So I guess I've learned it honestly. Today, storm chasers not only look for tornadoes, but they wait for hurricanes too. They want to be in the eye of the storm, trying to see what causes those bands of wind and rain. They chase thunderstorms, trying to see where lightning will strike, and even snowstorms, trying to predict how those are going to happen. They find peace in the eye of the storm. But they also collect data and information that's used to help predict future storms so that people like me can get out of the way. That's what they're ultimately trying to do. And they have saved lives, with hurricanes especially. But I still don't understand somebody signing up, going to school, and doing that on purpose. Do you know, in our gospel this morning, Jesus knew that he was about to become a storm chaser. And he willingly signed up for that job. Because he was fully God and fully man, he had to have known that that storm was going to come upon that boat that day. He had to have known that those fierce winds and that rain would come. Nothing about that storm surprised him. But yet he still got in that boat and made that journey. Jesus had asked his disciples to get in the boat with him and to come across and go on a little journey to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They followed him. They got in the boat. But I have a feeling if they had known that the storm was going to come, that maybe they would have said, "Oh, I got to wash my hair. I've got to get a root canal," anything but be in the boat that's about to sink in the middle of the Sea of Galilee while you're sleeping. Obviously, though, when they got in that boat, they trusted him. And they probably were thinking of a nice, quiet ride. They were trying to get away from the crowds they had been around all day long. I mean, who doesn't want to do that? So they got in the boat. They just needed some peace and quiet. They didn't find peace and quiet on the boat. As the boat set sail, Jesus climbed back onto the cushion and fell asleep. As he slept, though, those winds began to brew and the boat began to take on water, and the disciples began to lose trust. Can't you just hear them whispering now? "What is he doing? Why is he asleep? Does he not see all that's going around? What is he doing? He wants us killed. That's what it is." The harder the storm, the more scared they became. Did you know that this passage here is the only one that records Jesus sleeping? Certainly he had slept before this, so why was it important to note that he was asleep here? I think it's because it shows he was not afraid. He trusted God. He trusted his Father to get them across to the other side. Sleep is an act of surrender, an act of trust, one I need to learn better. Actually, I can go to sleep, I just can't stay asleep. Jesus didn't have any trouble with either one. He completely trusted his heavenly Father through the quiet and through the storm. The disciples didn't get that memo, though. When they finally had enough, they woke Jesus up and said, "What are you doing asleep? Don't you see all that's going on? We're going to die." And then they started pointing fingers. "Don't you care about us? If you cared, you wouldn't be asleep." Obviously, it was Jesus' fault the boat was sinking. People who are afraid quite often will deflect that fear onto other people. In the eye of that storm, they did not find peace. They really didn't maybe realize what they'd signed up for that boat ride. Once Jesus saw how the disciples were reacting, though, he immediately silenced the winds and the waves. And that great storm became a great calm. The sea obeyed his voice. He then said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And their reaction to me is very interesting. You would have think that them seeing that happen, they would have been filled with faith. But instead it says they were still afraid. Who is this man that the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this we've decided to follow? Jesus never promised them that everything would be easy for those that day who chose to follow him. He knew it would be risky for them. He knew it would be difficult, scary, life-threatening at times. He knew joining him on that journey would never bring great wealth, or that even their physical needs would be met in a way that they envisioned that they would be. He never promised there wouldn't be stormy weather. And they had a choice once they got to the other side of that lake, or the Sea of Galilee. They had a choice. They had to decide then and there, are we still going to follow? It's time to fish or cut bait. There would be storms ahead of them, figuratively and literally. They would be storm chasers the rest of their lives. We have that decision to make today, too. Jesus said, in this world, we will have trouble. We will have storms. Whether you follow him or not, you're going to have storms in your life. You can count on that. Sometimes we have calm weather in our life, but more often than not, we're chasing one storm after another, one difficulty after another. The question is, who do you want in the boat with you when you're facing those storms? Who do you trust when that boat is sinking fast? Trusting Jesus is easier during the calm, easy, good days. But that trust is built and strengthened during those storms. The good news is, because there is good news, is that he is always faithful and he's always present and he's always full of grace. He didn't stop loving those disciples that day because they questioned him or were afraid. He didn't question because they were not had a strong enough faith. He loved them where they are, where they were, and he loves us where we are. He was there that day to rebuke the storm, but also to help with their feelings of fear and dread and worry. And he wanted to bring them peace. We can find peace in the eye of our storm. Doesn't mean that everything around us will be perfect. It doesn't mean that we won't have stormy days ahead. But he's promised us to bring calm to our souls if we will just trust him. And today I'm preaching to myself. It's easy sometimes to find fault with the disciples and say, why didn't they trust him? Why did they go so crazy? Why were they so afraid? But don't we turn to fear so very quickly? One of my favorite writers is Ann Voskamp. And last night she wrote, "The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." That's based on Exodus 14:14. She said, let the spirit dwell before stepping into the hour or the day. This is the way the calm comes. Jesus didn't calm one storm. He came to calm all our storms. So that may we remember that when we decide to follow Jesus, he will walk with us wherever we go. Whatever we go through, whatever we face, he is there to bring calm. It's risky. It's hard to think about trusting a man we've never met in person or a book that was written so many years ago. But it's worth the risk for the peace and the calm assurance that can come to our souls. But we have to intentionally choose to follow. We have to let him in our boat. Have you made that choice? He wants to join you in that journey. He wants to be your Savior. If that's the case, if you have questions about Jesus and him becoming your Savior, come during the time of invitation and we'll pray. Maybe you've already made that decision to follow Jesus, but you'd admit that the storms have gotten the best of you lately. Things seem too big, too hard. Jesus wants to bring calm. He wants you to trust him. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, I can assure you that if you choose to follow him, and if you choose to let him, he will bring peace, and he will bring calm. Let us pray. Father God, you have said that in this world we will have storms. We will have trouble of all kinds. We will not know when to expect it or what it will be. But God, you also said that there is good news because you came to overcome the storms. You came to bring calm, peace, hope, grace, and love. God, help us to seek you today to find that peace for our own lives. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning, our invitation is hymn number 486. If you'll stand and join together, please.
Jesus calls us all to Malta.